God, you know, this man was in the mafia. Terrible people, awful things, awful. And Jesus met him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise. Isn't he so wonderful? He's just so wonderful. Oh, for right-thinking people, worship to God is so straightforward. I mean, it's so straightforward. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to share briefly, very briefly, actually. I just don't worship you. I had just a few thoughts here. You know, it says in Exodus 34:14, do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. The core of our faith is our personal interaction with our Creator, who wants us to worship him. He calls us to worship him. you know, it says in 1 John 3:24, those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. Hallelujah. Well, how can people obey if they've never read, if they don't understand? People have to understand. And there's three things that we've looked at already this morning. Thanksgiving, which is what God does in our lives. Thanksgiving for what he's done in our lives. We've looked then at praise for his great acts in the world and our lives. So that's praise. It's taking thanksgiving further. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his throne thy tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like thee his praise should sing. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise. Oh, thank you, Lord. We praise him. Hallelujah, we praise him. And then worship. But listen, come with me. Let me show you in the scriptures here. Let's go to Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 95. Psalm 95, look. It says this. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Singing unto the Lord. Singing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. Notice noise. The word for noise there is loud. Something that's loud, piercing the ear. So please don't get nervous if someone gets loud. Don't be nervous. It's okay. It's what they call praise. If someone is exuberant and they suddenly, you know, in their exuberance shout to the Lord or make an ecstatic, don't get nervous. Nothing to be nervous about. It's just, that's what praise is in the scripture. In fact, it says, you know, it splits the ear, is one of the understandings of it. So this is what praise means. And then let's make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. So we start off here, you see, we're singing and there's thanksgiving. You can see in verse 2 there, thanksgiving, okay? And then make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. And then it talks about praise, because it goes on to talk about what God has done. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. Talking about creation. The strength of the hills is his also. And further now into creation, the sea is his. And he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Can you see this? It's praise, it's thanksgiving, it's singing, it's talking about God and all that he has done and all the splendor of his creation. It's praising God for his wonderful creation and what he's done in our lives and who he is. That's the praise part of this psalm. It's talking to us about that, making that loud, joyful noise, that singing, that's joy, and it's loud and it's noisy. It's noisy sometimes when we want to thank the Lord. And you ought not to be nervous, because it's the manifestation of joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Singing praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Singing praise to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what it's about. That's it, friends. No one ought to be embarrassed or nervous. That's what this is saying. And by the way, this isn't an isolated psalm. This is right throughout the Psalms and right throughout the New Testament. Okay? We could go to Acts 16 with Paul and Silas in the jail. We're not. We'll just stay here. But watch what happens. Now watch with me. Hey, have you got Bibles out? Yeah, I want people to have Bibles. If you haven't got a Bible, why haven't you got a Bible out? You should have a Bible. Have a Bible. You want to listen. Letting the Bible in through the senses realm, our ears, but also our eyes. And even better, if it be our mouths as well. Speak the word softly as we read it, if you can. But it's good to have that going in. Now, watch this. Verse 6. Oh, come. It changes. There's a change. Total change. Up until this point, we've been talking about noise. We're talking about praise and noise. Talking about thanksgiving, singing, and praise. The noise. Very loud noise. But watch what happens in verse 6. Verse 6, look at this, it's the change. Everything changes. Everything changes. It goes into a totally different place. It says this, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let's just gonna bow down, worship, bow down. This is a different place. Bow down. It says, come, let us worship, let's bow down, let's kneel before the Lord our Maker. It's a place of quiet. In the Hebrew here, it's very interesting in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, the word for worship is actually to bow down in the Hebrew. The word is to bow down. And then, notice what it says. It says worship, and then it says and bow down. Well, what does that mean if worship means bow down? Well, that means to bow down and bow down lower than the worship bowing down. There's a sense of it being prostrate before God. And then it says, watch this, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. So there's a sense of kneeling, bowing down and worshiping. You know, so often in the church these days, let me tell you, please listen. Let me tell you, we have plenty of thanksgiving in the church. There's plenty of praise in the church. Loud music, bands, plenty of noise, plenty of praise. Everyone praise. But it doesn't get to the place of worship. There's very little worship in the church. They think they're worshiping. They're not worshiping, they're in praise. To worship is the still place. It's that place of being bowed low, in the sense of kissing the ground before God, in his reverence to him, in his awesomeness, bowing down. And that's the place where God speaks to us. That's where God speaks to us. That's how God speaks to us. Very quickly, as I move to close so quickly this morning, really, because we've had a different service this morning, I don't want us to miss this. I want us to see this. I think it's so vital that we see this. Come with me. You know, we could read from Daniel 6:10 and see that in Daniel, he kneeled upon his knees. He was in that place of worship. That's what they charged him with. They said he's worshiping. Watch him. He's not worshiping. He's worshiping his God. He's on his knees. Daniel is on his knees. He's in worship. That's Daniel 6:10. But you see, this is very interesting, because it says in verse 7, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice," we are under his care. "Today, if you hear his voice, if you worship, you will hear his voice." Do you see the connection? There's a connection there between those who enter into worship and those who hear his voice. Worship takes us to the place. You see, when I'm praising him, "Praise my soul, the King of heaven. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, all you his people." When I'm doing that, that's great. I like doing that. But that doesn't take me to the place of worship. It's steps along the road to the place of worship, definitely. It's important. It's praise. And it's thanksgiving. And it's important. But here's the place where I hear his voice. It's in worship. It's still. This is the place where I hear. Speaking to me. He's speaking. It's worship. Don't have that in churches very often. God is calling us to have that in this church. I saw a line of people, in my mind's eye, a line of people at the front, in worship like this, on our knees. I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you the truth. We had communion. The very first time we had communion on here, one of the first times anyway, it was when we had communion. Someone came up to the communion. They knelt down here to receive the communion. They knelt down to receive the communion. The next day, I had someone on the phone making the wildest charges. Wild it was. I won't even say what it was. Wild things. People so angry that someone was kneeling down and receiving communion. What was going on? It was the enemy trying to rob them of entering into the place of worship, because the enemy knows if people get to the place of worship, if people get to be still before me, and really quiet and submitted before me, they're going to hear my voice. They're going to hear his voice. God's voice. Those people will hear God's voice. And the enemy doesn't want that. He wants to do everything to stop that. And so he used someone as a pawn to do his will and to try and interrupt. I saw that last night as I was looking at this. But look, come with me to this this verse of scripture here in John 10. It's very similar. In John 10, 26 and 28, it says this: "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." And you know what? The sheep is quiet. It's quiet. The sheep is quiet, listening to the voice of the shepherd. The picture of the sheep, you know, is the sheep is quiet on the hill, and the hills without artificial lights, you picture those hills, and the sheep are there, and the shepherd is over there. But there's lots of sheep on the hill, and there's lots of different shepherds. And the sheep know the shepherd that they belong to. They know his voice. There'll be another shepherd that they can hear the other shepherd calling, but they won't respond to the other shepherd. They're not responding to the other shepherd. Why? Well, they know their shepherd's voice. So you have lots of sheep together on the hillside, but the ones that the sheep that belong to their shepherd, they're going to hear his voice, and they'll ignore the other voice, and they'll come along. But you know, to hear the voice, they have to be quiet. There has to be quiet. And there's in that quiet, that's when the Lord speaks to us. And he says there in John, he's remembering this sense. These are the people who are worshiping him. And in John, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. He makes it so clear. And watch this. It says in verse 8, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said it is a people that do err in their heart and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. And then come quickly as we begin to close here, as we close to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 4 and verse 7. And it says this, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. We enter into the rest of God, my dear friends, through worship. It's through worship that we enter into the rest of our God. And that last verse of Psalm 95 makes that beautiful promise. Unto whom I swore in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. But you and I are worshipers. We give thanksgiving to God, we give praise to God, and we worship God, and we hear from him. Amen. Now then, let's stand together as we close with an opportunity to respond to God. Let's just stand together. I want to invite everyone to have their eyes closed. Let's just close our eyes and let's pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you. We worship you. Speak to me about my life, who I should give this tract to, who I should open up my heart to, about my family, about my friends, about the others you want me to minister to. I am your minister. Fill me anew, that I may minister to my full potential. Now, if you want to respond to God and say, Lord, I want to have a life where I make time for this worship. I'm making time for the word. We've talked about that very much recently. Now, I want to have this type of worship. Now, if that's you, and you know that God is speaking to you, just respond to God. Lift up your hand now and respond to God. Thank you, Father. Yes, I'm lifting up my hands to you, Lord. I know I need that, Lord. I know that I do. I know that I do, Lord. Oh, Lord, I want to be walking so close to you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I want to be so close to you. Now we're going to pray. Father God, help us then, Father God. We're saying this, Lord. We can see, Lord, that those who worship you hear your voice. And we know that we want to hear your voice. We need to hear your voice. And so, Father God, we ask for this, that as we commit this morning then to worshiping you, Lord, lead us, we pray, that we would be the people that you've called us to be, that we would do what you've called us to do, and that your kingdom will be established in and through Living Faith Church. In Jesus' holy name, amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord. We worship you and honor you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. We honor you, Lord. Now, as we leave this room, let me say this. Honor him with your conversation. Honor him with the thoughts that you have. Honor him. Give him glory. Give him honor in the conversations and everything that takes place. Praise be to God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise him.